A lot of button pushing, flipping switches, flipping up and down, flipping switches, pushing buttons. Here's the news, according to me. It's a lot of technical garbage, technical jargon. Jargon. Here we are. It is Tuesday. Welcome to the show. Tuesday, May 5th. I guess it's Cinco de Mayo. I didn't even think about that. Happy Cinco de Mayo to all the people who come up with that idea. They don't celebrate down. I don't know. Mexico doesn't at least think of Cinco. Anyway, 8:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2026. I'm your host, Kevin. I'm here for you today as I tell you what's going on in the world. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor. Get that off my chest right off the bat. And I've got a squeaky chair. I got this chair that makes a lot of racket in the background. The back of this thing it rattles around a lot because I wiggle around in my chair a lot. It's just anyway, Technical Tuesday, Technology Tuesday, Technical Tuesday, we call it here at the show. And it's quite the show. We have, I just want to talk off the top of my head about technical stuff. I have a few news items to get into, some stuff that's going on. But other than that, we're going to talk about technical stuff. I usually talk about what I'm going to talk about the next, the day. At the end of the show today, I'll talk about what I'm going to talk about tomorrow. And it's usually different than what I say, but it will be something along the lines, but what I said I would do yesterday, anyway. I'm here, I'm just a bumbling old man here just behind a microphone. I got some stuff in my cup. I got, hot. It's hot. Ooh, it's hot. I've got some hot chai there with some Cinnabon. Was it Cinnabon creamer? Cinnabon creamer in there, yeah. The good news is I made a batch of fresh sweet peach tea yesterday. That's her at the homestead. I'm at the home studio, by the way. That's some good peach tea right there. That's good. That's good tea right there. It's just got just that hint of peach flavor behind it. Nice sweet tea with just a hint of peach. Works perfectly. Now it'll get a little stronger as the week goes on. But I got today, tomorrow, and Thursday. That should work. I should be able to. I get the whole gallon down. I'm still using my old Chick-fil-A jug that I picked up. Get my lifespan out of that thing. It's a good jug. It clean. The nice thing about it is it cleans well. It cleans up easily. The kind of plastic it's made out of. It's not just a typical milk jug. It's a different kind of plastic, which doesn't leach flavor into the tea itself too much. So it's just a milk jug. What is it, DPE or whatever that kind of plastic that is. They use milk jugs. We stopped getting milk. In fact, I need to get milk. I didn't put that down. I ran out of milk this morning. We have, we get milk usually either in glass or in the cartons. But we get whole milk. Organic whole milk or whatever it's called. I don't know, organic, whatever. So synthetic, it's different. It's organic. But anyway, the whole milk, I'm sure it's grass-fed, open range chicken milk, whatever it is. I don't know. It's free-range cow, chicken, breast. I don't know what, whatever it is, that's what we get. And that's what we got going on. So anyway, we get it. If you get it in the plastic, it does taste different. That plastic leaches, the plastic flavoring leaches, which if the flavor is there, that means there's something from the only way that happens is, when you smell something, that means there are molecules in your nose from whatever it is you're smelling. Just keep that in mind. Yeah. So we have Let's just go to the next topic here. We have a few things to get into today. We're going to talk about AI, of course, because that's the big tech thing. I was going to talk about how the technology stocks. That was kind of the thought yesterday. I was going to talk about a little bit about that. And we might get into a little bit of that. But I've been doing some research for my wife starting a business on her own. She's doing her own thing. She left her other full time position. She's going to be starting this part time position, she got a part time position that she started at a local hospital. Now she's going to be, which kind of gives her a good kind of a step off to what's happening. It does kind of take up a lot of her time, but she's going to be taking some steps in the right direction of starting her own business, kind of being more independent, which I think is going to work well. And this happens a lot the big thing about AI, and this is the thing that a lot of people don't like. It's a tool. We'll get into it more in a little bit, but that's talk about how AI is affecting healthcare and what's going to happen with the health and care industry, and how AI could potentially make things better or worse. We'll see how that works, but that's the general gist of it. And then we'll have some other news things. There's all kinds of scuttle about what's going on over in Iran right now, and I want to talk about a few things that are happening, because the news media is being very ridiculous about it. We're going to start off with that whole thing, and then we're going to get into the whole technology thing. It won't be a terribly long show. The intro is kind of going to be long because I keep babbling on. I need to get that over with. But anyway, so that's what we're doing today. We'll just start right into the show right after this.
According to me, it's the news.
So just in case you're wondering, I have, I don't know if you can hear me coughing in the background. I thought I had the microphone turned off. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Maybe you can hear me cough. That little ditty is what I use to kind of get myself kind of, I get all my old man coughing going. I get that whole thing. I get the old throat cleared up a little bit as much as I can. And then I think about what I'm going to say and I dial my brain into what's happening. Just gives me a little break. Chance to take a sip, do some coughing, make sure the cats aren't trying to cause havoc here. I got the friendly cat is out and about. She's milling around. She doesn't usually bother me too much. The other one wants to jump up on the table here and just flop around. Wants to be petted. He gets mad if you don't. He gets mad if you do. He's just an interesting character. But he's a big cat too. He's a very large cat. I have does a good job mousing though. He keeps the mice out of this house. We haven't had a mouse in this house and if there was a mouse in the house, it was dead. There's only been a few over the years. Anyway, we used to have them all the time. Every spring and fall, get some mice coming in the house. Not anymore. Plus, we have a lot of cats running around the outside of the house, too. But we have a lot of bird feeders, so they like to watch for the birds. And occasionally they get one. But it's normally they don't. They're just out there watching. But we have a couple of different cats that roam around the exterior of the house now, which is nice because they keep the mice away. I think. I don't know. Maybe they don't. I don't know what's going on out there. It's all part of the cycle of life. We have a few things to get into. Talk about this. There's a thing that going on. The news media, the legacy media, yeah, MSNBC, CNN, most of the legacy, even some of the legacy media companies, they're looking for an opportunity to make it look like Trump is losing the war. They want him to be, they don't want anything good to come of this. And they're just making it sound like this is just, they're listening more about what the Iran state news is saying than they are about what the actual reports on the ground are. So Iran finds this, apparently they have this media, these media people over there that are in charge of propaganda. They show this U.S. Navy ship. The front of it gets blown up. It didn't, of course, it gets, what's funny about it almost is that you can see it. It almost looks AI at first. It's kind of a weird view. First of all, what, you know, who's flying around video in this thing? You're not going to be flying around up there near a Navy destroyer filming something. They show the front of this thing, and of course, it's from underneath. They claim that they struck it with two missiles, and all you see is the water kind of boil up in the front of this thing. It just goes boom, and the whole boat's moving around, and then it starts to sink. And there's no people on the ship, by the way. You don't see anybody on the ship. So that's another giveaway. It's close enough you can't see anybody on the ship. You could probably at least see something on the ship. And it's getting blown up. It's out there by itself, and it's just getting blown up. And of course, it stays together. That's what's amazing about it, the whole thing. It just looks like it survived the blast from the surface anyway. But then it does, they kind of show it kind of sinking down a little bit. Now, no missiles, no nothing, just all of a sudden this explosion from underwater up on the bow area. The problem with this is the metadata in the video. This happened back in 2016. It was part of a firing exercise that was filmed and somehow got it on online. And they just used that. They used it. Apparently to say that they blew the ship up. And of course, the news media jumped all over. Well, apparently a Navy ship has been shot. It was struck by two missiles. They don't have any, they're not firing any missiles off anywhere. They claim that the straits are closed and all this stuff. Meanwhile, there's ships going through the straits. They're considering an act of war, and if you move ships through there, then the ceasefire is over. Well, no, that's not part of a ceasefire. Ceasefire is when you don't fire at anybody. Now, you're claiming you shot. You did fire, shot, fired. So that's, you broke the ceasefire. It's just stupid, crazy stuff. And of course, the news media is going right. When you have people like John Brennan, who openly say, I'm more inclined to trust what the Iranians say than I am what this president lies, you know, more as he lies, just lies so much. Of course he's going to say that because he's under investigation by this administration. He lied to the American people. He lied to Congress. He lied to he lies all the time. Now he doesn't want to get, oh, no, they're lying. These people are lying. Oh, this Donald Trump lies. Because Donald Trump says stuff about him. Oh, he's just lying. He's lying. He's a liar. He's a lying liar who lies. I believe Iran. I'm going to put my trust in Iran because Iran tells the truth. I'm not saying the people of Iran. I'm saying, and here's the issue, part of the whole thing here, and I don't know how you get around this fact. The people of Iran, as I understand it, they have gun control there. They don't have, just the general population there is not armed. You can take out their leaders. they still have a military and they still have people in force. They still have people who are willing to obey orders. They have kind of like a police type thing. It's a state. It's a government police. It's not really a, like we have local police here. You know, we have city, county, state. And it's, they don't really have that there. They don't have that kind of, and they most certainly do not elect their local county sheriff type thing. That's, they don't have that going on. And what you have to understand is they don't really have a way to rise up against the government. There's no way they can do that. It's a very risky thing. Now, they were having protests a while back. And of course, all those people who were protesting, they had like 40,000, 42,000 of them got killed for protesting. So you have to understand, if those 40,000 were still with us, you might get the same kind of, you know, if they had another uprising like that. Of course, that's, you know, people's psyche changes a little bit when their friends and family were killed and, you know, trying to uprise against the country. They're not sure what's going on. And are they, so this is going to be a very tough situation to wait out, you know, some kind of an uprising for them to take over their government, because they really don't have the, you know, the formal government that's there is not really formal. There's still radicals that are in charge of, and they all want to try to rise to the top. Everybody wants to be in control. That's the problem with radical Islam. And the fundamentalists that are there, it's a political thing. It's not as much of it's a theocracy, but it's more of a political regime. It's a manipulative ideology, and it's maybe we'll talk about this on Thursday. I might actually get into it on Thursday. We'll see how it goes. I'm really kind of leaning towards the idea of having a theological Thursday and talking about theology, even though I'm not a theologian, and I dare wade into some of these things. I think I might. You know, things you're not supposed to talk about in public, politics and religion. That's what I'm doing. Anyway, I'm just jumping in there, jumping in the deep end on that one. We might do that. And but I don't want to be, you know, going down a bunny trail here, which is fine because that's what this show is about. One of the things that there's a guy named Mike Wanger. He's on YouTube. He's got a thing on there. He talks a lot about Christians, but he talks a lot about, he kind of goes after Christians who are kind of off in the deep end. And I like the guy. I think he's got a well-intended heart in terms of he wants to hold Christian, the Christian world, the Christian, leadership, those who are kind of in the spotlight, including people who are in Christian music and Christian, you know, the preachers, the TV preachers, televangelists, you know, those who would consider themselves the big shots out there. Very dynamic, very, those people, the well-knowns, especially among the charismatic movement, he likes to hold their feet to the fire, which I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. However, there is a line that you can cross where you start to become, your whole ministry is all about tearing down and I'm not saying that's what he does. I'm saying that there are people out there who do that. They're constantly. I see this a lot with Christian music. There's these guys that have these whole YouTube channels and their whole ministry, their whole life is involved in examining the lyrics of Christian music. And this one of them was, it just gets kind of crazy. There's a song called Praise, I think it's called. I can't think of the guy's name. He's very popular right now. He has these worship concerts that he does. I'm okay with that kind of stuff, but it becomes this thing where I see a person I'm concerned about some of the people they put up front. They're young. They're being used, in my opinion, for the dollars that they can generate. It's not about the ministry with the people who are the producers, the people who are behind the scenes. They're making money. They're making bank. And it's all about the show. Yeah, this guy can get, you know, this guy can fill a stadium. He can put 20,000 people in a stadium. We can get this guy in there, charge him $50 a head. It's big events, that kind of stuff, and they're using these people. And they're very dynamic, very good, you know, very good worship leaders, if you want to say they're good, very good performers. They're very polished. They're very, very good at what they do. But I see is entertainment. It's like a concert high that these people get on. I almost hate to use that kind of term, but there's not a sense of, I mean, and I'm not saying here, and here again, God can use that. God is still speaking to people, but there's also this, why am I going down this road? Where did I get started on this? But what I'm saying is there's this thing about leadership and people being put into leadership a little bit too before their time, before they're ready to do that kind of thing. And it's concerning to me because I see that there's always this opportunity for them. Anyway, there's these ministries that are out there. And this one song is called Praise. And it's just, there's a line in there that says, my praise is the water my enemies drown in. And this guy was going off. That's not in the Bible. That's not anywhere in the scripture. Where does it say praise is the water that your enemies drown in? That's not in the scriptures. That's not anywhere in the... Okay. So everything that comes out of your mouth, every word you say, is somewhere found in scripture. Because whether you're singing your words or whether you're saying your words or whether you're preaching your words or whatever you want to call it, it better be in scripture. If that's going to be your standard, then everything you do needs to be coming, you can only quote scripture. That's all you can do. That's the only way you can communicate with anybody. I don't see the word computer in scripture anywhere, but I bet you've said it a couple times during the day. So or iPhone, your cell phone, or the word phone, for that matter, or camera. I mean, there's so many things. It's okay. Well, but I'm not. Well, if we can go so far into this, yeah, we're definitely gonna have a theological Thursday at least once, because we're gonna talk about some of this stuff. And it's what gets me is it's a poetic form of expression, and I don't know how you get around that. I have a hard time with some of the criticism. Some of the criticism is just, you're just looking for, you're straining gnats here. You're swallowing camels. I don't know. It's a weird phenomena that happens, I think. Don't get me wrong. When scripture says don't judge or you'll be judged, that's about condemnation. Don't condemn or you'll be condemned. Judgment there's righteous judgment is a whole other thing. There's just, different words to express those kinds of things. But anyway, like I said, thanks for going down the bunny trail with me there for a second. As we go off into the other area of AI, how this affects AI, so anyway. Enough about that. So there's the whole Iranian thing and everything that's going on. Just understand that the news media is being kind of wacky crazy. And there's just going to be this issue of, are the Iranian people actually going to be able to rise up and take over these radicals that are in charge? That's the big question. I've been on vacation for almost a month. And I'm starting to realize that I really wish I'm kind of looking forward to retirement. Because there are so many things around this place that I need to get done. It's overwhelming. You know, I have so many projects that I kind of keep putting off. And things just pile up, and it's just, and once you start piling things up anywhere, you can't get to what you need to get things done. So it's just, then it just becomes this big pile of mess. Just, you can't do any more with it. Of course, I have 12 different projects going on at the same time, and they're all piled up in the corner over there. And can't get to any of them, you know. You just have to get inspired to do something, and that's difficult to do because there's always something to do. Just, you have to drive yourself crazy. And the all right, let's talk about AI. We're going to go right into this next thing. After this brief, little thing here, we're just going to do this.
Seven, four. But wait, there's more. 6-5-1. We're almost done. 7-6-85. Text that number. It's alive.
Ooh,
text that number.
Ooh,
call that number.
Don't be, yeah, I know the microphone's
loser.
On. I'm singing in the background. So.
Don't be a loser.
Okay, anyway, the yeah, text that number. Hey, it's, what did I say it was? 574-651-7685. You can call that number, or you can text that number, or you can go to google.com/voice and you can send me a message. So if you can get on the internet, if you're out of the country and you don't have an international calling plan, just go to google.com/voice, type that number in, 574-651-7685, and you can leave me a message, or you can send me a message, and I might, If it's another language, I can have it interpreted. I can do that. I have the technology to be able to figure that out. And I might play it here, right here on the show, or I might respond to it. You never know. Or I might not. I might just ignore it. You never know what might happen with that. In fact, I got two. Yeah, it's always spam usually comes through on that number. Anyway, so that we got that going on. The technology, AI technology. Now, this is what's interesting here about AI. There are a lot of different aspects to artificial intelligence and how it works. Now, and sometimes I feel like I have to break this down because there's a lot of misconception, even among people who are kind of dabbling in AI a little bit. You have to understand what's going on. There's agentic AI, which is where you have an agent that's autonomous. And that is actually where the future is. And there's going to be services. In my opinion, there's going to be service providers that are just going to provide agents. And it's going to be, you're going to pay a monthly fee. Setting these little boogers up, and they make it sound like it's really simple. And it is simple. Here's the problem. You could, on your computer, you could set up a little AI agent that can have, and if you give it access, and even if you don't give it access, sometimes it can discover how to get access to things. These little boogers get access to stuff, and you can have them do all kinds of things, and you can have them do, you know, just tasks. And it can become a very, this OpenClaw thing that happened a while back. It used to be called Claude, I think it was called OpenClaw or whatever it was. It was spelled C-L-A-W-D, kind of this little lobster with a claw. It was kind of its little logo. And it was using Claude, Anthropics, Claude LLM to make things work. Now, what's going on here? LLM is a large language model. So that's what LLM is. Now, one of the things you're going to run into, if you start trying to do any kind of research or do any kind of deep diving into what's going on with AI, one of the things that you will find is that they throw around stuff like, well, VPS and MSP and maybe blah, blah, blah. They throw all these things out there that people don't understand what that is. That's the UI is for blah, 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 blah. Well, if you don't know what these acronyms are, then you don't you lose them right away. It's just, it all of a sudden just becomes noise in the background. You don't know what they're actually talking about. A lot of times I'll try to listen to like a 1 hour podcast or something of something that's going on with AI, and they're throwing stuff around that they lose me in the conversation. And I'm pretty well steeped in this stuff. I mean, I'm not a professional. I'm not a coder, but I've certainly been around it for the last 6 months and I have to a year. I've been in, pretty involved in what's going on with it. And you feel like you're behind. That's the weird thing about it is I'm probably in the 1%, less than 1% of the people, population of the country who are involved in AI stuff, like deeply. And I feel like I'm way behind. And I can't imagine people being, and here's the thing. A lot of people just aren't interested in it. They don't understand what's going on with it. They don't get it. And then there's those who are just so hyped up about it that they just can't, they're just on to the next thing, and they're totally infatuated with it. They don't know what, there's nothing else outside of it. They're just constantly talking about it all the time. And the weird thing is it's developing so fast that by the time you figure it out, they just, every LLM that's out there, service that's just doing it. So you got ChatGPT, you got Gemini, you got Gemma, you got Grok, Claude. What else is out there? I probably got memberships to other things. It's just all the different. Oh, the Meta, I think is that the other one. There's go down the list. There's a handful of the larger ones, and then you have some smaller stuff out there, like DeepSeek and some others that are from China, other places out there that are doing things. And it's they're constantly trying to outdo each other, and they kind of stay in their own lane. Most of them, Claude is very good for coding, and or at least that's what it was. Now, Anthropic was kind of onto that part of it. ChatGPT now just came out with 5.5, and apparently that with Codex and some other. There's just all this stuff that's going on out there that's changing the landscape changes, within a month. If you're watching a video about AI or about an agent, the Hermes agent now is the one that's probably going to, it's kind of surpassing Claude, Open Claude, or Open Claw, or whatever the thing is, Open Claw. That's the one that's probably now it's kind of starting to surpass. Open Claw has issues. Open Claw will start to slow down, start to cause problems after a while. People tend to say that depending on, you have to have it set up properly, or it will start to do weird things after a while. apparently this Hermes thing has got some protections with it, and it just kind of comes in as part of its programming. Of course, they're going to fix that with Open Claw as well, probably at some point. The thing about those models is that they're open. So they're out on GitHub. You can go in, you can change it, you can modify it. People are coming out with better, they're using that to start to reprogram and make something else and call it something else. Because it's open source. It's out there. It's not patented or anything. It's not copyrighted or anything. It's just out there. So you can modify it any way you want to. You can call it what you want. And that's what's happening. So there's people on it now. The agents can be programmed. So the agents themselves are kind of your own little, you can call it whatever you want. There's little services out there that you can go to. Say you're applying for a job. Somebody has got an agent that helps you. It specifically is a job search agent. Now you can go to any LLM. You can go to ChatGPT and just type in the thing and say, okay, you're going to act as my job seeking agent kind of thing, my headhunter, my job seeker, whatever it is, you're looking for somebody to work for you or whatever, you're going to be my headhunter and you're going to find me an employee. There's just different things like that. You can tell the LLM what you want it to do just by starting off the chat like that. And sometimes you can set it. Now the agent is a little bit different. You go in and you can kind of set up your profile, who you are, and what you want the agent to do for you. And then that agent is specifically kind of designed for helping with a particular issue. Maybe it's, maybe you've got a particular position, you're a CEO. So this thing is set up to set up to specifically have a background in CEO material. Everything that it draws from is from experiences from the last, 50 years of CEO training and technology and everything else that's out there. So it's gonna draw on those things. So within its containment, it's not gonna hallucinate it as much because it's got some containment around what it's gonna draw from. Now it can also use the internet. It can also do searches, that kind of thing. This is the difference between an LLM and an agent. The agent can kind of go out and do things on its own. You can say, hey, go ahead and set up you can have an agent that's just in charge of security for your website. It constantly monitors your website and looks for security, looks for issues. It can create a website for you. It can do all kinds of things. It can set up the website, do it, which is kind of a weird deal. But anyway, so all this stuff. So there's two different kind of avenues that you're looking at. One is kind of like a Google chat box. It does more than just give you a web search of what's out there on the web. It actually searches the web for you and comes up with the proper answers rather than just going to a web page. You can say, hey, this is the serial number of my car. I'm looking for, a certain set of rims or whatever parts or whatever it is. Looking for aftermarket parts for I want to put an Edelbrock, manifold on there, whatever it is. It'll go out and find that thing for you that fits on it. And it'll say, these are the recommendations I have for you. And this is what this is. And then it'll give you the steps to process, the process of the steps to change it. It'll come up with videos. It'll come up with all this information. It'll come up with description. Any kind of reference material, whatever you ask it to do, it's going to come up with all this stuff for you. The only thing it won't do is turn a wrench. So then you got to find somebody to turn a wrench, and it will even find somebody to turn the wrench for you. Yeah, it'll give you there's these people are close by. This is these going to give me top rated whatever mechanics in this area whatever. So it'll do those kinds of things for you as well, which is more of a Google search. That's kind of the low level use of an LLM. Then you get into this whole thing where, hey, I want to start a business. I want to do this. I want to set up all this stuff. It'll start giving you all kinds of, okay, you could do this. What are your qualifications? What's your market like? Do some market research. It will let you know what your competitors are doing in the area. It'll do all this kind of stuff where it goes beyond just what a Google search is. And it will give you step-by-step instructions on how to do all that. It will help set up. Now agentic flow, you type out, it's kind of like having a little employee online that operates in the digital world. It can send emails. It can do marketing plans. It can actually go out and do the marketing. You can give it a budget to spend, and it will spend, say, I'm going to give you $500 a month to spend on a budget to advertise. This is a marketing budget. Go ahead and, create ads for this product, whatever I'm building, it will go out and try to sell that for you. Or maybe it's a service, whatever you're doing. Go out and find my clients, go out and find whatever it is. It will do that. It will go out and find. It'll do advertising. It'll open a website. It'll open all kinds of things. It'll do for you. Of course, now it's going to just spend that money. It's going to spend every dime of it and try to get you some leads and that kind of thing. It'll keep track of all this stuff for you. And then what ends up happening is if you have one agent, you can have one agent that kind of oversees other agents. And those agents can be specifically designed because they have this little algorithm thing that you put into them. It's called a SOL markdown file. It kind of describes who that agent is, what their responsibilities are, what they do, everything about them. And so that's what ends up happening. They go in this whole process of that whole thing, and they do that whole thing, which is very interesting. It's very kind of complicated, but it's a very interesting concept because what's happening is you have kind of like this little structure. And so then you might have one that little agent that's just in charge of marketing, another agent that's just in charge of financial, oversight. In other words, it keeps track of all your books and does all that kind of thing. It's just and that's it keeps the context with that agent. It doesn't get confused as easily because it doesn't have all this stuff to think about every time it does. Because every time it thinks about something to do something, and it's not. And again, it's a machine. Doesn't have to go back through everything in the whole entire conversation to figure out what it is that it needs to come up with, because that's what it does. It's just contained within that particular conversation. Now, when it gets into the medical world, this is where it gets interesting. You have all kinds of aspects within the medical world, in the medical sphere, that's happening. And this is just one industry, for example. This is where my wife is kind of working on her business, is going to be more involved in the medical aspects of, and how AI affects that. And it's not so much that you're selling AI. You know, it's not that you're just, hey, I'm here to sell you AI. That's you don't just stick that in their face like that. It's you know, the solutions that you have and the agentic flow behind it is just, yeah, we're using AI to leverage what you can do. And that's what I've noticed the most about using it as a tool and understanding it is you can 10x your work. You can, your time-wise, you can get a whole lot more done. Now, it takes a little time to get kind of spooled up and understand what it's doing and how to operate it, much like any power tool. But once you get it figured out and you have kind of a workflow for it, and once you get it set up the proper way, it is exponentially, will take, you know, you can do an hour's worth of work and get 10 times the result that you would normally get if you did it manually. And now there are issues there. It will hallucinate in some cases. You have to really watch what it's doing. It will come up with its own answers. It'll make stuff up because it thinks it's trying to help you because it's helping you. There's an answer. I don't know. It's made something up. So you have to have all this verification of where did you get your data? Have verifiable research here. We want peer reviewed research that you can draw from, all this, that kind of thing. So it gets a little complicated with that in that regard. But those are all the things that you have to kind of give it some fencing, some railing, some kind of guidelines, some hem it in to the point where it's able to do only certain things. And then you get a lot more success out of it, and that's kind of where the trouble comes in with a lot of people in terms of how they operate. Now, what I see happening is more of an application, AI applications is what I'm kind of getting at here, and that are tied in with an agentic flow. So, in other words, you have an agent that's embedded inside of an application that's able to do things. Now, here's the interesting part of this. I've watched several speakers on and did some reading about what's going on with the AI world with regard to healthcare. There are so many different facets to this, and it's very interesting how this is all panning out. In other words, there's different directions you can go with this. One of the directions is in, let's just say, medicine itself, coming up with new compounds, chemicals, how they affect the human body, how they affect different blood types. They can get so specific that it's like, how does it affect certain genetic backgrounds? So if you put your genetic information in there, how does this medicine affect you with your genetic makeup? With your blood type, all those things, it becomes very specific. And how, what is the dosage amount? How the medicine itself can be put together, chemically, to be able to have the right response, that the body has the right response to it. So you're doing better, more good than harm, kind of thing, and it's. That's where AI can I think accelerate the process of having certain drugs approved quicker, which is a big deal, and also just the development of new drugs. Say they come up with, hey, they've got a cure for Alzheimer's. This particular drug now is, all the data that's on Alzheimer's is all aggregated and is put in, and now they figured out this is the issue, and this is the chemical that will help prevent that or help turn it back. It's very interesting stuff. There's advancements there that can accelerate and be used as a leverage there. That can also be a danger because it will make stuff up and you can end up going off into some weird direction. So there still has to be some constraints. The human system has to be involved in this whole thing. I think that's the whole key to any of this stuff. The problem with a lot of it is that eventually, AI tries to take over. It's just a fledgling machine right now, but it can become very dangerous. Now, the other thing, other side of this is, management of preventative healthcare. So you put in your particular background, your genetic makeup, you put in your lifestyle, everything that you do, it knows all that stuff and it follows you, maybe with your watch or whatever you're doing, or with your phone or however it is you got set up to monitor activity, monitor what you're doing, the kind of food that you intake, or all those kinds of things. It can prevent, or it can predict, I should say, can predict, okay, you're going to have a heart attack when you're 52. Whatever it is, it's going to say, this is going to be your problems as you get older. This is going to be, you have a high likelihood of these particular diseases based on your genetic makeup, based on your, family history, the kind of food you eat, the lifestyle you have, the activity level that you're at. Chances are you're probably going to your brain's going to explode at 92. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to figure all that stuff out. Which is fascinating, that it can predict those kinds of things. Now, it's just an assumption. It's based on the best data. What it may not know is that you're also going to injure yourself in a car accident or whatever it is. That they can't it doesn't know that. But it gives you an idea of medical kind of medical forecasting. Now, the problem with this is, and it's right away, you get insurance companies coming in and say, "Well, you're at higher risk for this, so we're going to charge you more for your insurance." Well, that's the problem with that whole thing. And they're not going to reduce your risk, or your payment for anything else. It's just we're going to raise your rates. Everybody else is going to pay the same, but we're going to raise your rates because because that's the way insurance companies are. They're not looking at, we're going to give you a discount because you got this better genetic makeup. No, they're not going to do that to you. They're just going to still charge you. They're going to find something. You get this baseline charge they're going to make, and then they're going to, "Oh, look, you got a hangnail there. We're going to charge you more. You have a tendency to get more toe jam than anybody else." So that's whatever it is. They're going to find a reason to charge you more. And so they get involved with the management of this whole thing. And they're using I guarantee you, they're using their actuaries and everything else that they're using to figure all this data out and know what the risks are with their finances and what their I guarantee you they're going to be using AI for all that stuff. Now so you have that part of the health system, and then of course the dangers that are there. Now you also have just management in general, healthcare management. So you have cost effectiveness, and just like you would in any business, because the healthcare industry is a business. Hospitals are big businesses. They're merging all the time. There are all kinds of mergers going on. There's all kinds of weird things happening there. So it becomes big business. There are people who, a lot of times the people at the top are not people who have any kind of medical sense whatsoever. They're not doctors. A lot of them aren't. And they're just business people. And of course, then you have state-owned hospitals or city, county-owned hospitals. Many times those are getting, and then you have, university organizations that are, more research-oriented nursing training, doctorate. It's just all kinds of different kind of aspects of that whole thing, different types of emphasis that they have. The bottom line is they should be having patient care. That's what their real bottom line should be. But that's not always the case. So you go down to just all the different aspects of healthcare in hospitals and doctor care. So you're a local, local family physician. Keeping track of the community, the things that are going on within the community, being able. Here's the thing: there's a nursing shortage. Of course, there's a healthcare worker shortage in general. This can really help alleviate some of those issues. And now the other thing is, it can help you find nurses and help nurses find jobs. And so that's the whole the employment part of it is one thing. The training aspect is another whole other thing, training of nurses and all those things. You can do simulations. You can do all kinds of things that you can't do. It's very difficult to do, I should say, in the electrical mechanical world. So there's all kinds of other things that are on that aspect of things. The management of, say a particular hospital floor, surgical floor, whatever it is, where it helps the manager of that floor take care of more, be more time efficient with, and that's the big thing is patient care requires time with the patient. And when you've got all kinds of reporting, charting, all the stuff that you got to do along the way, it becomes more and more difficult to do those kinds of things and have time to take, you know, all the time you're spending charting or doing whatever it is you're doing, or, you know, your test time away from the patient. So it's just one of those things where, it hopefully will solve some of those issues and will alleviate some of the time constraints that the care workers have. Now you have the other issues of, you know, on top of all that, you have the other issues where there are treatments for the particular individual. You know, it's things like sepsis. I think that's a big deal. The forecasting of what's going on with that patient, you know, prior to, you know, are the early signs, I should say, of something going on. Say someone comes in for diagnosis. Now the AI necessarily won't give you the diagnosis, but it will give you early symptoms and will put this thing together and spot something that maybe a doctor wouldn't. You know, there's a lot of bias in diagnostic procedures. Some dumb doctors will say, well, they'll come in, they'll say, you got this issue, and they go down this particular road a misdiagnosis, I should say. Or they might miss something in the diagnosis. There might be something other factor contributing to what's going on. Whereas hopefully the AI doesn't have a bias. Well, it can, but it's one of those things where it's probably more, if you treat it more as a second opinion kind of thing, which I think is very key, it kind of gives you that opportunity to have a second opinion right off the bat. Of course, the doctors that will just rely completely on the AI to tell them what's going on, that's a problem. The doctor hopefully will be able to keep its mind in there and just use the AI as a second opinion, as a, you know, where's the oversight? Where's the thing that I didn't catch? Is there something here I'm not seeing? Is there something I'm not, you know, is there some obscure thing that might be possible that we need to keep an eye on to catch it early? And sepsis is one of those things you want to catch early. A friend of mine died from that recently. So it's just one of those. It's one of those things where I think that the whole idea of AI and what's going on with it is very fascinating. At the same time, there can be this over. And this happens in almost any industry where there's automation. That I knew as a pilot, one of the biggest helps for us was automation, autopilot, the technology that is able to, you know, just it the planes. You can say they practically fly themselves. Well, they do, but there's also input required. There's a lot of programming required, and it has to be programmed properly, overseen, make sure it doesn't do anything stupid, make sure you didn't put anything in stupid, because everything from the dispatcher to the pilot to the airplane itself mistakes can be made. And the airplane itself has technological issues, sometimes constraints or whatever it's going to do that can cause things to go awry. And there needs to be a person in the loop there that can hopefully, you know, maintain all the. So there's two pilots up front, but there's still this. And then the computer does a whole lot of things, but we still have to catch mistakes. And it's like having that third person there. It's just because the computer, the machine, it's just a machine. It doesn't do, you know, it only does what you tell it to do or doesn't do what you tell it to do in any case, but you need to be aware of that. So the other thing is surgeries. AI can be assistive in surgical care. Of course, the robotic surgery that's going on now, always, of course, it's always overseen by the doctors, but that part of things, the AI itself can be, hopefully it will develop to the point where it can do a lot more and be competent with regard to what it can do. It's just different, so many different aspects of what's possible here. Now, again, I want to get back to this whole definition between AI, what is artificial intelligence? And I always say it with such a tongue-in-cheek thought. I just, because in the back of my mind when I say artificial intelligence, it really is not intelligence. It's just an algorithm that is synthetic. It is a programmed thing. It's just automated. It's almost like an interpretive, like when you start typing in a word in Google search and it fulfills it for you prior, you know, it fills in the word. It's kind of like that's kind of what you're doing with AI. It's just a look forward thing. But it scours, you know, supposedly scours the entire internet to find the answers that it's, you know, that you're looking for. It's, it does, it goes beyond just a Google search. It's an aggregator of material. So it's a little different. Now, having said that, there's the AI, the large language model, which means that the large language just is just talking about the, it's gathering all the language up from of that particular topic that you're trying to work on. And then there's the agentic work. So there's two different things going on here. As the two kind of get melded together, so you have this little assistant that helps you, that does things, you're programming it to do things for you, so you're not having to do, it'll literally move your mouse around on your screen, it'll push buttons and do all kinds of things with software. It's amazing what this stuff can do. At the same time, it's very dangerous, because if you give it a task to do and you tell it it's got to be done, it will find a way to do it. And sometimes it will do things that are nefarious, or it could possibly do things that are very damaging to other. You know, it can. If you tell it to, hey, I want you to straighten up my email box or whatever, I want you to organize the folders on my desktop, you may not ever find those files again. There are people who have had things permanently deleted from their computer. There are people who've lost lots of money because they've set up to do trading or whatever they're doing, and it goes off in some deep end, or they end up in huge amounts of debt because the thing went out and spent a bunch of money and ordered a bunch of, you know, they got cardboard showing up at their house or whatever it is. Those are the kind of dangers you have with the agentic workflow, and this is how you have, you know, you'd have to have the whole system set up to be to all kinds of guidelines. And then there's the security issues of all this stuff. While the thing's out there doing stuff, it's not necessarily paying attention to security, which is why you have to have an agent that's just in charge of security. And it's, you have to have firewalls, you have to have all kinds of things that, you know, protect your, what they call API keys, which are just the things that you use to get into your certain applications online, web-based stuff. I'm going to start with the acronyms again. That's what's happening agentically in the, that's an overview, and I've already taken an hour to talk about it. I spent the first half hour talking about gobbledygook. But that's what's fascinating to me. And that's kind of an overview of what the technology is doing in the medical world. And that's a very shallow look at it. It's not diving deep into any of that. But I hope that gives you an idea of, you know, just, that's just one industry. Now you have the machining industry. You have the, you know, the other industries out there that are not necessarily digital agents, digital working sites. And what I mean is by that is they're not, you know, you have to turn wrenches. You have to do certain things. There's still certain manufacturing things that have to happen. People on the floor, people doing things. But AI can be involved in the management of that whole thing, making it more efficient, you know, the ordering process, finding suppliers, finding, you know, customers, employees, just, you know, whatever has to be farmed out to do that. It's just all those things, all the aspects of managing that business, regardless of what kind of business it is, in any kind of industry. That's where AI, I think, is starting to take hold as far as having a positive effect on things. And now what's interesting is, and I'm going to just kind of finish up with this one last little thing, and then we'll talk about what's going to happen tomorrow. The interesting part of this, and I think one of the most interesting parts of it, is that the AI companies themselves, there's a lot of tech companies out there that have basically, they laid off a bunch of people. This one company, I think it was 30,000 people they let go. They're letting thousands of people go in the tech world. Well, AI is going to take over all these jobs. AI will do all this now. We don't need all these people because AI is doing it all. So they lay off these people. I think maybe it was 3,000. Maybe it was 3,000 people that this one company laid off. 30% of the workforce, I think it was. AI is taking over all your jobs. Sorry. AI is eliminating your job. And now they're going, AI can't do this. It's not doing a very good job of this. We need these people back. Now, the problem with this, and here's what you run into. Now, these companies are hurting themselves, in my opinion. This is where it gets really difficult. Because what ends up happening here is you let these people go. These people are tech savvy. These people will, you're going to give them, you know, unemployment for a while. They're going to be at home with unemployment. They got time. They're going to set up their own businesses. They know your business very well. They're very good at what they do. There is a very good chance they may go out there with, just as an employee sitting behind a desk, one person can now do the work of 20. And that was the whole reason you laid them off, because, well, now we don't need all these people. All these people can just go away. Well, the problem is you're launching them off into a world that they know, and now they're going to become your competitors. One of them, even just one of them, could, you know, become the next Steve Jobs. Who knows? And all of a sudden be your competitor. And they're lighter, leaner, meaner, and understand AI better, and they're maximizing it, using it to its most efficient. And you now have gotten to a position where you've lost employees, where you could have 10x'd what you could do with those employees that you had. So this is where I think that, okay, maybe you could have gotten rid of, you know, 100 people or whatever. Maybe there's been some people that were just doing tasks that were just, you don't need to do anymore. And because the computer will take care of it. Be very careful with this. I think they're creating their own environment that's a dangerous environment, in my opinion, because they're, what they could be doing is they could be 10xing the work that they're doing. Say, okay, we've got these 3,000 people here. We could treat them as, now it's almost like having an army of 30,000 people, because if we just train them to use AI properly, we can actually expand our market share and really take over the IBM, so to speak, of that particular industry sector. We're not doing that. And I think that there's, first of all, they've realized, a lot of these companies have realized they've overstepped. They've let too many people go. At the same time, those people who've been let go are going to start looking at even if it's just a small fraction of them, 10% of them start their own businesses. Well, now they're escalating what they can do using AI. So what ends up happening is they become a more powerful competitor, because now they're starting from fresh slate here, and they're starting from maximizing what they can do with AI, whereas your company is still trying to figure out what it's doing with AI. And you might think that, well, we've got this in the bag, this AI thing's going to take over, and we don't need these people anymore. And then they let them go and realize, well, it's not quite as dependable as we thought. They might have jumped the shark on that one a little bit. But anyway, that's my point. So many things that you can talk about with this whole thing. And I guess I'm just kind of rambling on about just more or less about what that stuff's about. But I've already been talking over an hour. Tomorrow's going to be a live show. We'll talk about that in just a minute. Right after this. Tomorrow's going to be a live show, probably from the worldwide headquarters. It's the plan, anyway. I've got some things to do today. I've got a doctor appointment. Got some other things to get out of the way. And then, theoretically, it'll be a live broadcast from the worldwide headquarters right around 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's the target day. That's the target time. And it should work out okay. I think that should happen. I don't see anything else getting in my way for that whole thing. In the meantime, tomorrow's show, what are we going to talk about? That's the big question. What's the show going to be about? Well, it's going to be open to a lot of things, but I'm pretty sure the main thing we're going to talk about tomorrow, I've got some audio clips that I really would like to play. It's kind of a mishy-mashy, it's more of a mishmash Wednesday. A lot of different things, politically. We're going to talk more about politics tomorrow. Some of the stuff that's going on around the world, around the country. One of the things is the Voting Rights Act and all this stuff and everything that's happening with the gerrymandering. Haven't really dived into that. There was a Supreme Court case that happened recently, and the ruling that they had. Now the left is kind of their. At first they said, "Oh, it's not. This is nothing. We can still do what we're going to do." We're going to talk about that a little bit more in detail tomorrow. What's actually happened? What's actually happening? And what the chances are of the Democrats? Are they actually going to potentially win in the fall or not? I don't think they are. I think they got to really have a hard time with it now. If things keep unfolding the way it is, we'll see how that goes. In the meantime, God bless, and I will see you.